Face. Just hold tight. I want you to take your Bibles. I'm going to keep Glenda on stage with me today. Because I don't know. I just feel like something's going to break out and I don't know when. So we're just going to be ready. But I want you to go to Hebrews. We've been talking for a couple weeks on leaving Egypt and telling you it's time for you to get out of where you've been and to where God wants you to go. It's time for you to get your eyes out of your past. It's time for you to stop being defined by every mistake you've ever made. It's time for you to stop having things held over your head, either by yourselves or other people. And it's time to become the children of God you were created to be, the powerful people you were created to be, the person that God designed you to be. And last week, we talked about, hey, God is training you. We talked about, hey, everywhere you go in life, you're learning something. And get familiar, because you'll revisit all those circumstances. Whether you're standing there in a trial, going through it again yourselves, whether you're standing there by a brother or a sister, and they're going through it, the Bible says that God comforts you in your day of trouble so that you will be able to comfort others with the same comfort you were given of God. You may not know why that divorce happened to you, but can I tell you, that divorce could have happened to you to save thousands of marriages. You say, what? Because the things God's teaching you. Number one, it'll keep you from making the same mistake, right? And number two, it'll help you to keep others from making the mistakes you have made. You may think that addiction hindered you from being able to be used by God. But no, get rid of the addiction and understand. Hey, understand this. It's almost impossible for you to lose your addictive personality. So why don't you just get re-addicted? But just get addicted to the right things. I came out of Walmart the other day and I was walking by as I was coming in and a guy said, he said, I see you. That's what he said. He was a heavy set guy. He was about 6'4". He said, I see you. He said, you're going to buy something from me when you come out, aren't you? I kind of got scared. I looked at him and said, it depends on if you take credit cards. You know, I don't have cash, but yes, you're big. I'm going to buy something from you. I don't know what about it, but I couldn't stop thinking about the dude in Walmart. So I come back out of Walmart and there he is. And I said, okay, here I am. He said, yeah, that's my guy. I've been waiting on you. I said, what are you doing? Like, what are you selling? He said, we work with people that are broken. People that are, he said, we're life changers. That's what we do. And I was like, okay, tell me how you're changing lives. He said, the only way that can be changed, Jesus Christ. I said, what are you selling? What do you got? And so I stood there and all of a sudden I'm looking around and I made a little donation. And then I said, you just keep everything. And he said, no, you need this shirt. And he threw me one. And on the front it said, addicted. Had the little Adidas sign. You know how they play on symbols. It said addicted. And underneath it, it said to Jesus. And I got in the car and I just sat down. And I was like, man, I'm always going to be an addict. I am. I mean, it's in my blood. It's in everything of me. I got to be careful what I touch, what I try. Because I know I'm addictive. Anybody else like that? But I am glad that 7, 8 years ago, he changed my addiction. Instead of being addicted to a substance, I became addicted to a love that never ends. I became addicted to who I could be and who God made me to be. And today, we're still addicted to that love. And we're still addicted to who God can create us to be. But more than that, now we're addicted into seeing who God can make you and how God can use you. And today, we're going to chapter 3, where God plays with fire. Now, I love that. I've had a moment this week with God where, man, it just overwhelmed me. I'm having another one of those moments this morning. Can you tell? Have you ever studied when God played with fire in the Bible? Elijah's on a mountain. All these people are dancing around an idol and they're praying. And all of a sudden Elijah says, why don't you pour some water on my sacrifice? Man, they're cutting themselves. They're bleeding. They're screaming. They're desperate. And their God's not answering. And Elijah started getting fun and having some fun with it. He said, just pour some more water. Dig some trenches. Let's fill that bad boy up. And then he prayed a prayer that's just this simple. Let's paraphrase it. Prove it. All right, God, it's your turn. Prove it. And the Bible said that a fire fell from heaven and it consumed the offering of the bull. It consumed the wood. It consumed the altar and it evaporated all of the water that was in the trenches. And the very next verse says, and all the people that were there looked around and said, he's the God. He's the one. Man, you look at when the children of Israel in Exodus 13 are coming out. The Bible says that God looked at Moses and he said, by day I'll lead you by a cloud, and by night I will be a pillar of fire. Can you imagine not needing a nightlight because God himself is light in the sky? Can you imagine being sitting there with your family around dinner and all of a sudden saying, the fire's moving. Pack it up. Let's go. Can I tell you this? Can you imagine being able to visually see God move? I believe we can. And I believe that he's willing to. And I believe that he will. Matter of fact, look at Hebrews real quick. In chapter number 12, I'm going to read several verses here. In Hebrews chapter number 12, it says, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. One not being me. One capitalized meaning him. It says, for if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks, I like this, to us from heaven. I don't know where you are today, but can I just tell you this? Buckle up. God's going to speak right to you. And I don't know who you are today or what you're battling today, but God's got something right for you. And in the very next verse, it continues, and we're going to read just three more after this. It says, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, by the way, that's called the mountain of God. I love it. In chapter 3 of Exodus, you find Moses on Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. You find God telling Moses, remember this mountain, because you will come back here again. Man, I love it. You need to study what God did on that mountain in Moses' life. But it goes on and it says, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. God says this, once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. In the very next verse, he says, this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things remain. Are you unshakable today? You say, well, I get scared. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Are you unshakable today because you're on a firm foundation? Are you unshakable today because you built your life on the rock of Jesus Christ? Are you unshakable today because God is looking at you and saying, hey, I am with you, even until the end of the world? Are you unshakable today because God declares that if God is for you, who can be against you? Today, we need a church that's unshakable, but we need a church that's on fire. We need God to play with fire in our churches again. We need God to light us ablaze. We need God to use us. It says, it goes on, since we are receiving this kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Can I tell you this? I believe you came to worship this morning. You couldn't stand on this stage. I looked at David and I said, it's here. It's here. People ready to shout and scream. People throwing their hands up and accidentally hitting each other in the face because they're just into it. Man, hey, it's here. And where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty, there's freedom. Can I tell you, I don't know how you got ready this morning, but will you please do that every Sunday? All right, because I feel like some of you put on the armor first before you put on the clothes. I feel like some of you came expecting, and then we read this verse, and I love it. For our God is a devouring fire. He is an all-consuming fire, the Bible says. And today, I don't know what sin you have. God's an all-consuming fire. And today, I don't know what sickness you have. God is an all-consuming fire. Today, I do not know who you are or where you are, but I do know this, that anything in your life that should not be there can be removed right here, right now. Why? Because God wants to play with fire in your heart. He wants to do something. He wants to consume all the idols that you shouldn't be worshiping. He wants to consume all the things that are bringing you down. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. God wants to use you. So look at Exodus 3 and let's read some verses real quick. It says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn. It didn't burn up. All of a sudden, Bible says in verse number 3, this is amazing, Moses says. How many of you would be the same? This is pretty cool. Why isn't that bush burning up? I gotta go see. The next verse says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. I love this. Don't come any closer. Don't come any closer. In other words, you're close enough. Any closer, you can't handle it. So stop right where you are, because I'm about to do something. It says, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. Now, we're going to get into Moses' reply later. And we're going to look at those sandals later and what they represent. But today, we're going to stop and look at the bush. You say, the bush? Yeah, the bush. There are four things, very quickly, that we need to take note of from this bush. Number one, what kind of bush was it? Was it big? Small? Was it a holly? Was it a warm climate or a cold climate bush? Was it winter or summer? Did it have the endurance to survive this, that, and the other? We don't know. We don't know what kind of bush it was. Because God's not into appearances. And God's not a respecter of person. And so I ask you today, what kind of bush are you? And the truth is, it doesn't matter what kind of bush you are. The fact is the bush is willing. And because it's willing, God set it on fire. And can I tell you this today? If you're willing, if you will let Him, God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things. God takes people that we don't know their past, but we get to be a part of their future. People that we don't understand where they've been or what they've done. You know, you say, you're talking about a bush. No, I'm talking about you. And in the world, the bush is insignificant. And to the world, you may be insignificant. But to God, it was a bush that He wanted to speak through. And He wanted to use. And He got somebody's attention with it. And I believe He wants to do the same with you too. You may never be on Rolling Stones magazine. You may never be recognized in the news. You may never get a prize for all the things that you do. But God recognizes you. God knows you. And God is wanting to do something in you if you're just willing to let Him. So number one, what kind of bush was it? We don't know. Because it doesn't matter. Number two is this. We do know what was in the bush. Now I want to show you a verse real quick. And I want you to check this out. Take your Bibles, take your pen, and write it down. Galatians 2:20. The Bible says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. I love that. It says, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what kind of bush you are. It just matters what's in you. What is in you? What is inside of you today? What do you believe in? What is your hope in? What are you placing your faith in? Who is your God? Who is your Lord? Who sits on your heart? Who rules and reigns? Who has control? That's what matters today. Moses was drawn to the bush, yes, but the bush is not what changed his life. It was what was in the bush that changed his life today. And the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible goes on and it talks about in other passages, hey, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, then wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out. He says, hey, nobody lights a candle and sticks it under a bushel. But instead, they put it up on the mantle, right? They put it up so it gives light to the entire house. And then he goes on and he says in Matthew, let your light so shine. He says, hey, let it shine so that all the world can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, can I tell you this? If you're trying to change the world, you're probably tired because you can't do it. And if you're trying to reach other people, you're probably exhausted because you can't do it. But the truth is this, if you've got God in you and you're relying on Him and you're letting that fire burn, if you're letting it do what God has intended for it to do, then I promise you today that God will use you to do extraordinary things. But you have got to let Him be the one controlling your life. The Bible said when Moses got closer, God spoke. I want you to write something down today, and I want you to remember this. God will light the flame in you. Promise He will. The day you accepted Jesus Christ, there was a flame that was lit. In Leviticus 6, they had to have a flame lit in the temple at all times. And God told the priest to never let the fire of the burnt offering, never let the candle, never let that flame burn out. He said, light it and keep it burning. And can I tell you this right now? I believe that it is your and my job to keep the flame burning that God has started in us. Matter of fact, I want you to look at a verse real quick, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, this is why I remind you to fan the flames, the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. I believe the church has started letting the fire dim, letting the power of God fade. And I believe it is time that we get that fan blazing again. I believe it's time that we look at people and say, you can, you can. Not you can't, you can, you will. You have been given and you have received everything that you need to prosper in this life. You say, well, if I only had a bigger bank account, you don't need it. You say, oh, I need the money. God is loaded. God is loaded and has every bit of the ability of putting a check in your hands if needed. God has every bit of the ability of doing what's necessary in your life to make sure that you're supplied for. He says, I will supply all your needs according to my great riches and mercy. You need to stop relying on what you can build and start relying on what God has already built and start fanning the flames that God has put in you. Start seeing the passions come alive. The third thing that we notice about this bush is it didn't get burned up. God's doing something amazing through it. God's doing something phenomenal through it. And yet it got Moses' eyes. Why? Because it didn't get consumed by the flame. In other words, it didn't get the big head. It didn't think that it was all about it. Do you think it's all about you? The biggest problem we face is when God does something we try to take credit for. And guess what? None of us deserve the credit because none of us deserve anything today. It's the grace of God, the mercies of God. And I'm going to ask you today to humble yourselves. What kind of bush are you? Are you the one that thinks that the church can't rotate without you? Are you the one that thinks that the world can't go on without you? The truth is, it can and it will. Why? Because the church is based on Jesus Christ and Him alone. The world is held by God's hand and nobody else's. I'm not saying you're insignificant, but I'm asking you to do this. Look at this verse with me real quick. The Bible says, humble yourselves before God. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. James 4, verse 10. Today, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to step out of the way so that God can take your life and do what He did through a bush. Number four, God used the bush to deliver a message that saved a nation. Now, isn't that crazy? I've had people sit in my office, I don't believe God can use me. He used the bush. He used the donkey. You know, I heard one preacher use a word that I'm not going to use today. If he can use one jack, he can use another one, right? The truth is God wants to use you. And the other day, I thought to myself, man, isn't it amazing how God used Moses? And then I thought, isn't it weird what He used to get Moses' attention? See, Gabriel got an angel that appeared to him. Mary had an angel appear to her, saying, you're going to have the baby, and it's going to be the Son of God. Joseph had an angel appear to him. Moses got a bush. A bush in a wilderness. Can I tell you this? I firmly believe that this morning, God set a bush on fire right here on the stage. And He said, I'm going to speak and I'm going to tell you things and I'm going to call you to things and I'm going to ask you to surrender things. I'm going to ask you to step out and I'm going to ask you to get excited and I'm going to ask you to be bold and I'm going to ask you to be willing to speak. I'm going to ask you to let me light a flame and then I'm going to ask you to not think that it was you that had anything to do with it. But I'm going to speak through you. And I'm going to say something through you that saves someone else's life. Matter of fact, that'll save someone else's eternity. I don't know about you, but man, that was one powerful bush, was it not? Can I tell you? I got on my knees this week. I prayed. I said, God, I know this may be the weirdest prayer. This is how me and God talk, by the way. I said, but you know, I know other people and they're pretty weird. So it's probably not the worst one you've got, right? But God, can you just make Grace Community Church one big bush? One big bush. You know what I get told every day? I was on the phone with somebody. We were putting someone in a hotel the other day, and I called them, and I was like, hey, and they were like, well, where is your church? I said, on McGuire Road. They say, well, I live on McGuire Road. I was like, well, you don't live far from us. And they're like, is that what that building is? Yes, that's what it is. It's a church. She said, well, I might just have to check it out. And I thought to myself, thank you, Jesus. I'd like to be the bush that's just on fire that somebody passes by and says, I got to check that thing out. There's something weird about those people. Hey, can I tell you this? If you're here today and you're a visitor, you're in danger of being hugged. All right? You are. You are. If you have a problem with germs, we've got Germ-X. That's it. You're going to get some. You're going to get our germs. You're going to get our hands on you. You're going to get our arms on you. You're going to get our prayers on you. You're going to get our love on you. And what I pray is that you get the love of God on you, because I have found this. You can't wash His love off. The Bible says, what can separate you from the love of God? No height, no depth, no principality, nothing. And so I believe today, and I'm praying today, that God sets us on fire. I love it when God plays with fire, don't you? You know what fire does? It produces passion. It produces movement. You can't be on fire and sit still. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Can I light you on fire? Just for a second. All right? Just for one moment. I promise you, you won't stay in your seat. I'm not really going to do that. And if you're really going to volunteer, can I pray with you? All right? We need to talk. But the truth is this. Not only does it give us passion, I love it. The disciples, after Jesus rose, there were two guys sitting there. And the Bible says that Jesus appeared to them. And He sat down and He answered some questions and He ate with them. And then in the middle of the conversation, disappeared. And one of the disciples looked at the other one and said, did you not feel it burning in your soul? Did you not feel that burning inside of you? You know what that is? That's the power of God. And He doesn't want you to keep it in. You keep that power in, you'll explode. But let it out. Let your light shine. Let people see that God wants to do something great. He delivered a nation through a bush. Through a bush. Well, America has problems. Well, He gave America more than a bush. And no, I'm not talking about a president. I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. Look around this room. Would you agree with me? There's enough people in here that can make a pretty big difference in this area. But you know what I found? Half of the people that are in this church today don't even live in Jefferson County. Man, that excites me. Because we can already reach surrounding Camleys of Granger and Hamblin and Sevier. Man, we're knocking out a lot. That's a majority of the eastern side of the United States, Tennessee. And I look at it and I say, what kind of bush are we? Are we getting people's attention? And when we get their attention, do they only hear God or do they hear us? Do we get in the way or do we let God speak? You know, I wonder if Moses felt silly one day when he looked back and he thought about his excuses that he made in the next chapter. Where he starts telling God, I can't speak. I wish I could have stood there and said, Moses, time out. Dude, you're talking to a bush. A bush. And the bush is talking back. And you're worried about your ability to be able to speak? A bush is talking to you. A bush is speaking and you're telling God, I can't speak. And yet he's making a bush speak. You idiot, right? That's the worst excuse in the world. You're telling the God that can talk through a donkey, the God that can talk through a bush, that you can't do it. And that's exactly what he's trying to tell you. He doesn't want you to. He wants you to let what's inside of you speak. So can I ask you this? What is in you that is burning? What is in you that you can't hold in any longer? What is in you that you got to let out? You know, some of you it's praise. Some of you it's celebration. Some of you it's brokenness. And some of you it's pain. Some of you it's shame. And I'm going to tell you this. Open up and let God speak. And I promise you amazing things will happen. Let's look at the last verse. Tanya, skip to Chronicles. We know this verse. We use this verse often. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. I'll restore it. Do you know that's one of the few verses that in every translation, the words really don't change that much? In every translation of the Bible, it says the same thing, the same idea. You say, well, they all should. They don't all. But most verses, they'll put it a little more modern. They'll put a little more slang or a little more lingo in them, depending on the version you're looking at. But when you read this verse in King James Version and you compare it to the NLT that we use today, it's almost identical. Why? Because it's so black and white. It's so clear cut. It's so true that there's no other way to explain it. It explains itself and it tells you exactly what will happen if you would surrender. And you say, well, Brother Josh, I've got bigger problems than our nation today. You can replace that with your home. You can replace that with your addiction. You can replace it with your life. If my people, if you're a child of God, humble yourselves, seek His face, turn from your sin, and God will restore you today. God will do it. And I don't know about you, but I feel like God's playing with fire in some of your hearts right now. So I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. There's a song out there that says, light a fire in my soul. Fan the flames, let it grow. Till there's no doubt, no denying. No denying. Can I paraphrase the rest? That you're alive in me, that you're working in me, that you're using me. Now, how many of you today can be honest and say, you know what, when it comes to the things of God at this moment, I'm a little bit excited. Would you slip your hand up? Just a little bit excited. When it comes to the realization that God can use a bush, it makes me feel like God could use me too. How many of you think that too? How many of you today can look around your neighborhoods, can look around your home, can look around your community, can look around our nation and see that the world is in desperate need of a fire, a flame that'll help them grow today? How many of you say, I see a lot of people in darkness right around me. Would you slip your hands out? All right. Here's the call. Here's the call. Take your shoes off. Today you're on holy ground, so get rid of everything that makes you move. Everything that makes you function. Humble yourselves. Get ready. God is warning you. He's giving you a calling, and here it is. You're not going to do this. You're just going to be a part of this. You're not the reason it's going to work. But you're going to experience how it works. You're not the one that's going to take the pain away. You're not the one that's going to change a life. But you're going to be there as you see chains falling to the ground and the Spirit of God coming alive in people. This is not the day that you recognize who you are and what kind of bush you are. This is the day that you recognize who He is and you say, I will be that willing vessel that you can fill with your power, with your glory, with your might, and I will go and show the world who you are today. I believe God's starting a fire. The question is, are you going to let it burn? Or are you going to put it out? How many of you are here today and say, you know what? I don't need anything else today. I already know what God's telling me I need to go do. Would you slip your hand out? I don't need anything else today. I already know what God's telling me to go do. Would you raise your hand? I already know what God's calling me to. God bless you. 1/4 of you. All right. The other 3/4, the other 75%, listen to me. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do when you don't know exactly what God's calling you to do. Number one, you love Him. Number two, you love others. Number three, you praise Him in everything. And number four, you find somebody else that you can share Him with. That's it. Whether through your life, your action, your words, your deeds, you find some way to share Jesus. We've got an awesome opportunity tonight at 6 o'clock where you can even wear a costume, wear a mask. Nobody will even know who you are. And just tell people that you love them. Just share hope. You may feel like you're lost in life and you don't know where to go. Moses was in a wilderness that he had served in for 40 years. He had no point, no existence there other than to lead sheep that weren't even his. And in that wilderness, God called a hero. And you may not understand where you are in life, and you may not understand what's happening, but in this moment today, God is burning a bush in front of you, and He is calling you. Why? You are a hero to somebody today. You're the answer to somebody's prayers. So let your light shine. Let people see God in you. Stop living for yourself or for glory, and start living for His glory and for His calling. And let God use you. Amen. Amen. Sing that chorus. My chains are gone, and I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. All right, listen. Whatever it is that's burning in you, let it out. At some point today, let it out. Stand victorious in the name of Jesus Christ and know who you are based on who He sees you as and not who you see. Let's make a difference. Let's make a difference in somebody's life today. Would you stand with me? Would you grab somebody's hand?